No matter where you are, it's Texas Standard Time on this 17th day of July, 2020. I'm David Brown. Happy Friday to you and yours as we enter another weekend in the fight against the coronavirus. Here's where we stand. 10,457 Texans in hospitals across the state trying to beat COVID-19. 3,561 deaths now attributed to the virus statewide, and nearly 20% of those deaths were reported in the past week alone. These numbers have been compiled by the Texas Tribune, and a little later in the broadcast, we'll be hearing about chatter on social media regarding the possibility of a second shutdown in Texas. Rumors about that have been swirling on social media all week. For parents and public school students, the ticking of the clock is getting louder. What happens in the fall? Only last week, the Texas Education Agency, the TEA, was saying all Texas public schools would have to open with on-campus classes in the fall for students who want it, while giving schools a three-week transition period at the start of the school year to conduct classes online only. Well, this week, Governor Abbott hinted that the state would be more flexible with reopening, and the TEA said online-only classes could be extended in districts without a loss of state funding if local health officials declared it unsafe to go back to school in their areas. Which leaves us where exactly? Some school administrators are quite unsure what to do, and they've been trying to craft plans on their own, sometimes not squarely in line with the black letter rules from the state. We've been talking with local superintendents to hear how they are trying to make plans amid all this. Joining us today is the superintendent of El Paso ISD, Juan Cabrera. Superintendent Cabrera, welcome to the Texas Standard.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Earlier this week, the El Paso Times was reporting that local health authorities were warning against a school reopening in September, and a lot of schools have been looking at you and your plans to see what you come up with. So what are your plans for reopening, at least as it stands?
Well, first of all, I want to say that we are very much working with the county health authority and director. We're the largest employer in town. So what I decided to do was, before we gave our final plans, was to sit with the mayor, the county judge, and the county health director and said, listen, I'm not happy with the way many districts are acting completely in silo. Let's try to work together as a county and think about what's best for our county. You know, we only have 800,000 people in the county, 200,000 kids in K-12 schools, and 30,000 employees. So when we start moving, when that domino falls, the entire county is impacted. So we're able to work with the county to put this health order together. But honestly, this is a day-to-day decision for us. We're on a daily basis speaking with the folks in Austin and senior officials in El Paso.
Just to be clear, it's not just that El Paso ISD needs to figure out what to do in the fall. You have other independent school districts nearby, and they're going to be profoundly affected by what you do.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have actually 12 school districts we serve in that region, and that's where the 200,000 or so kids reside amongst those 12 districts.
So tell us a little bit about what now parents can expect in El Paso.
Well, so we're looking at this in basically there'll be four tranches. There'll be kids that choose face-to-face, and they'll come in each 2 days a week and 3 days at home. That's our A and B groups. C is virtual full-time, so our C group will not come in the buildings at all. Then our D group is what we're going to call kids with special needs and any kids that are so far behind academically or have other barriers to virtual school that we're going to bring them into the building first. Mm-hmm. So serve those with the greatest needs, whether they be physical, academic, or otherwise, first. Fill up the rest of the buildings with our A and B kids and then teach our virtual.
I want to be perfectly clear about when the doors will be open on campuses. Will that be on the first day of school or no?
Right now, it's Tuesday, September 8th. That is our current plan. But of course, we've got the caveat in all of our plans that, you know, safety and health permitting. And that is to say that we are going to maintain social distancing. We've got a bit of conundrum with the state when they say every parent that wants to be in a school gets to be in a school. And if you think about it, that doesn't necessarily juxtapose well with social distancing mandates.
Right.
So we're going to allow and try to accommodate every family that wants to be in the building. But social distancing and protecting our teachers and staff is of utmost importance.
I guess there's something else that you're trying to keep an eye on, and that's school funding, because of course those determinations are largely made on attendance. What's the latest that you're hearing when it comes to how you're going to do those head counts and how much money you might lose depending on how the situation unfolds?
Well, we are so concerned about that, sir, that we've actually reorganized. I'm going to create a team that does nothing but manages the new attendance rules, because we used to count everybody at 10 a.m. under pre-corona. Now we've got an assortment of rules around face-to-face, synchronous and asynchronous instruction. So it's complicated. In fact, there were 18 pages of that in the last order that came out. My expectation is that today the commissioner and the governor will announce an extended window of virtual, again, at our choice. I think that's going to go from 3 weeks to 2 months is what I'm hearing. And once we get that extended window, then we have, of course, more flexibility. But then again, once that 8 weeks or whatever time period is up, then the more stringent rules will come into place. And you're exactly right. Teachers, administrators, everyone needs to understand, as long as we have that mandate, we're going to have to be really careful about the way we manage attendance and keep track of it, because those are real dollars that support instruction and jobs.
An enormous challenge for Juan Cabrera and staff over at El Paso ISD, where he's superintendent. Mr. Cabrera, thanks again for speaking with us on The Standard.
Thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it.